We are Marc and Florence Deleritz. We're French, and we, as a couple and as a family, we have five children. We've been involved for 15 years in evangelization through the local parish church with the Alpha Course.
Just tell us a bit about that. It began in England, didn't it, the Alpha Course, in an Anglican parish in London. It's quite well known in England, but for those of our listeners who don't know what it is, just explain the basics of it.
It's very simple. It's a way for ordinary parishioners like me to invite friends, other mothers from the school or somebody you had a meaningful conversation with in the bus, to a simple dinner in the parish, or it can be at my home, but linked with the parish, where people can get friends with other people from the local church around a good dinner. We try and have excellent food. And then there's a talk that is about really what is essential about the message of Jesus Christ, done in a humoristic way. We show that Christians can, be normal and fun people, and also very related to everyday life. And the most important part of that time together, it's usually an evening, but it can be breakfast or lunch, is conversation, where people can come, and even if they know nothing about faith, they are made to feel very comfortable with it. If they have objections or prejudices or aggressivity or anger against the church because of bad experience, we listen to them and we welcome what they have to say. And progressively, week after week, because Alpha is a 10-week introduction to the Christian faith, people free themselves from their prejudices, and a lot of them begin a personal relationship with the Lord.
So what kind of success have you had in this program, you say, over the past 15 years?
Well, Alpha has existed for 30 years now, and around 20 million people around the world, in India, in Asia, in Latin America, even in France, have experienced the church in a positive way. And a lot of people have asked to get baptized, or people who had been baptized but completely lost any relationship with the church have asked to be confirmed or are coming back to their local church.
Marc, how did you get involved? Were you dragged into this by your wife? What's been your experience of Alpha?
We were both living in London. I was working in the city at the time. A friend of ours called us, invited us, a colleague of mine actually, and we reluctantly decided we would go and follow at least the first evening. And we fell into the pool, so to speak, together. We were both very committed Catholics when we followed Alpha. And this course was like for us a second conversion. The first conversion happened for us when we were in our early 20s, when we discovered that being a Christian was about following Jesus, wherever he goes and with ups and downs, but following him and having a living relationship with him. What we found in Alpha after years and years in the church was that there was the flip side, so to speak, of this relationship was announcing the gospel. Not because it's something you need to do, but it's so compelling that once you've found this well of living water in this deserting world we live in, you can't do anything else than spreading it. And what we found in Alpha was not only this, which is, a renewed understanding of what mission was about, but also a simple tool that was allowing anybody, really anybody, to become a living testimony to the strength and joy of the gospel today.
You were working in the city, you say. You're a businessman, I imagine. I'm wondering what kind of reactions. You must get some negative feedback from people, don't you, who ask you what on earth you are doing in this kind of activities?
Well, since Matthew, back in Jesus' time, was called from his Wall Street desk, I think there are good precedent of people moving from one world to the other. But actually, I think there are very few industries or very few activities which are evil per se. Obviously, some are. If you're a sniper or a drug dealer, you probably have a tough time understanding what's the way to do that in a Christian way. But, banking, lawyers, many professions which have, in a way, a bad reputation in the world, can be done in a Christian way. I firmly believe that Christians are put in the world, placed, so to speak, by God in different places, and that we are not called to all join in a monastery praying all day. We need Christian bankers, we need Christian lawyers, we need Christians all over the place. They are really the yeast in this heavy world, and that's where I was. I'm still in business. I love it, and I must say that as I grow in age, and that has been my aim for all my life, I would say, there is more and more coincidence between the inner strength that faith brings to me and my job and my family and my missionary activities, and all this, hopefully, thanks to God, are coming together neatly.
You're talking about your family. You say you have 5 children. How do they react to this work that you do? Are they involved as well?
You can say they're involved. They come with us on many activities. We try to expose them to other many different aspects of church life, because we don't want them to get saturated in what we do, and because the church is so diverse. But each of them have a prayer life, and they bring Jesus to their school place, which is not that easy in France today.
Very difficult, in fact, in France today, isn't it? Mm. Laïcité is all important.
Yes, it is. But at the same time, I think even people who don't go to church, who describe themselves as non-practicing and even non-believing, have a spiritual life. And in the heart of any man, there's a call for transcendence. And it's not that difficult. That's also something I love with Alpha. We listen a lot to people. And if you, before speaking, we need to listen. And when people bring you what hurts or what is wanting in their life, you can just share your own testimony in a humble way, and it's compelling.
Have there been any particular stories, particular people over these years who've really touched you in a very profound way?
Many people have touched me in a profound way. Prisoners, we go in prison for Alpha quite often, and I must say this is what we enjoy most, although prison is an absolutely awful place, because you really see how much the presence of God can be felt when we pray together with prisoners in such a beautiful, powerful way. So we love going to prison. And a story I can share that I really liked. The first time we did an Alpha course in our local Catholic parish, this great big young man came with a big leather jacket, and his head was shaven. And we said, "Welcome, and how did you hear about our dinner starting tonight?" And he said, "I followed 2 girls in the tube. They said they were going there, so I followed." And after the Alpha course, he asked to get baptized, and he joined our local parish. And he was a great guy. He helped a lot afterwards. So that's the kind of story. But with thousands of them, we've lived.
So you've talked about Alpha for prisons, Alpha for the business world. The Alpha course can be adapted, can't it, to all kinds of different situations?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we like it so much, is that being Catholics and French, in a way, it was quite a challenge for us to venture into an Anglican and British tool. As Nicky Gumbel is saying very often, is the founder of the Alpha course, 2 things were uniting us in Great Britain: the hate for France and the hate for the Catholic Church. So it's really an amazing tool of unity. And one of the reasons why so many denominations across the world are using it, which is the case, you know, there are roughly 70,000 parishes and Christian communities giving it from all major denominations, is that it is both very efficient, very sharp in the way it's structured, because it's based on experience, and at the same time, it's adaptable in its culture to any community. So here, for instance, in the Synod, it's quite striking to hear so many, in particular of the African fathers, insisting that acculturation is important. Or it reminds me of the discussions we had in the past in England with Jesuits or Benedictine parish priests, which, as you know, is more often in your country than in ours. And they were sharing with us, after a few years running Alpha in their parishes, that there was a Jesuit way, a Benedictine way, of running Alpha, as there is a Pentecostal or Catholic way of running Alpha. So that's one of the reasons of the success. It's really adaptable to big cities like New York, or to rural Zambia or rural France. You know, that I find this is really respectful of the color and atmosphere of every community, which is really admirable.
You're both here taking part in the Synod of Bishops. What are you bringing? What is your task here?
What we bring is really a humble testimony that lay people, couples, families are part of new evangelization in an organic way in the church. If many fathers of the Synod say evangelization is not going to happen if lay people don't do it. So that's the testimony we bring to the Synod.
Would you like to see a greater participation of lay people? There are a number of you, about 100 between the lay people and religious, aren't there? But would you like to see a stronger voice from the laity like yourself?
Personally, I feel that having a small group of people is good. This is primarily a bishop's synod, and we can see, you can feel it from where you stand, that it takes time to reach a common vision. And the bigger the group, obviously, and the more diverse the constituency, the more difficult. You know, the past synod on evangelization, which was back in 1974, right before Evangelii Nuncii was issued, was really difficult because this is a very complex concept and set of actions from a pastoral standpoint. So I would say, depending on the themes, you know, for instance, of the family, you might have cases where it might make more sense to have more lay people. But on pastoral issues like this, where it's already quite complicated to converge, I would probably try and keep the group smaller and more homogeneous.
You are the only married couple here, aren't you, giving your experience of family life, is that correct?
We've been told that it's fairly uncommon for that to happen, yes.
And yet there is a huge insistence on the family, isn't there, as the first place of evangelization?
Yes, many say the family is both an object of evangelization, because families, we need to be evangelized, and a first subject of evangelization, because parents have such a huge role to play to make it possible for their children to experience faith and to live faith, and also because families are the ones who can reach out to their environment, in their villages, in their cities, in their workplaces, in the school places. So many bishops have talked about how important it is for them to support couples, to support families, to support also the schooling, the education system and the schooling system, but also to engage families in giving a Christian witness.
What are you hoping to do in terms of very practical input into the final propositions, the message, the outcome of this synod, if you like?
You know, the synod explicitly, as it's laid out in the Instrumentum Laboris, is not about disseminating practical methodologies. It's about more stepping back and trying to look at what, you know, the risen Lord is already doing in his church and thinking about what to do next. So obviously we will not be promoting Alpha per se, which would be meaningless. Something which really is on heart, I would say, are two things. One is, we feel that leadership issues should be dealt with far more seriously at the bishop and priest, and well, in the church in general, what we call in Latin, you know, munus regendi. And that was the core of our intervention yesterday. And we really are pleading with the Synod Fathers so that new evangelism is not only about new methods, new audacity, new focus. It's also about a new leadership style.
What do you mean by that exactly?
We mean that it's important, if we are not to lose the fruit that the Spirit is already giving to the church, as we see this happening with many, many, many baptized adult people, the big majority of them leaving the church after the few years. If we are not to lose this fruit, we need pastors, parish priests, bishops who are far stronger in building vivid, extrovert, lavishly generous communities. Which, well, depends now. We can't make generalities, but certainly in Europe, these have vanished.
Why do you think this is? Why are they lacking? Why is this kind of leadership no longer around?
I think maybe because the tendency of our church has been to train more and more teachers than pastors. So we're begging to get more pastors, you know, pastors according to the heart of God, as one of the texts of Pope John Paul was saying. And for this, they need more training on how to get a vision from God, how to communicate it, articulate it for a community, how to get people around you when you are a bishop, priest, your first circle of people, to grow in competence and faith. how to lead a team and really focus them with the right energies on the right tasks and prioritizing, how to make use, and this only is a huge topic, how to make the best use of spiritual gifts, which we know in faith that the Spirit is giving to every baptized man and woman, and which in our church, in the Catholic Church, is almost not used. See, all these topics, we feel that we have a huge amount of energy, which is just here, like a gold mine under our feet, and our hope is really to have the synod opening up this gold mine and giving it out to the whole church.
This is quite a audacious request, isn't it, that you're making of the leaders of the church?
Well, I think we all, when we discuss with priests and with bishops, we all realize that, especially in our country, in France, we are very much looking at how to keep the church as we know it working, and it can require heroic maintenance. But we can't go on like that. Some of our parish priests have 32, 35 parishes that have become one. It's impossible or superhuman to be doing it like that. So we are confronted to our weaknesses now, and we all realize, lay people and priests alike, that we need to put the priority back to people who are not in the church, to go to them and to use the gifts and the talents of lay people so that they can become the agents of God where they live. And it's not that audacious. I think we come to realize we need to change the way we do things if we want the church to grow. But it requires a pastoral vision. But many people are on that line. It's not that bold.
So pastoral leadership, new vision is one of the things that you're asking for on the second?
Well, this place is a place where people speak and think, and that's the place, and pray. Now, new evangelization is about also doing things, right? That's why, you know, the very first new evangelization was back in the first century and is written carefully in the Acts of the Apostles. And this book is called Acts. It's not called Thinking or Synod, it's called Acts. So I think that the next step, and that I think the laity is waiting for it, is really to find some kind of a call to action, a call to mission, that would really be taking the whole church behind the Holy Father. Maybe a dream we have is to have the Latin American bishops back in Aparecida 5 years ago made a call for Mission Continental. Maybe we should be calling for Mission Mundial. That'd be a nice way to pass on, you know, the energy, passion, generosity, which is so palatable in the synod, giving it out to the Catholic laity, to the world.